Today's daf is Yuma Daf Pei Beis. We left off on the top of Daf Pei Beis Amud Aleph. I think we got all the way through Daf Pei Aleph Amud Beis. So we're holding at the Mishnah on the top of Pei Beis Amud Aleph. Today's daf is packed. We have first discussion of the daf is the first Mishnah is about Ketanim on Yom HaKippurim. At what age do we have children fast? When do they fast L'Sha'os? When do they fast the whole day? When do Rabbanan? When do Oraisa? Does it make a difference? Or what are the differences between a child who's a Chola or a child who's a Bari in terms of fasting on Yom HaKippurim? And then at the Mishnah on the middle of the page, we get into Ubra Shehiricha. We get into people who are ill or pregnant and need to eat something or claim they need to eat something. At what point do we feed them? What do we feed them? And the Gemara is going to go directly into a discussion of the concept of Yaharik Val Yavar. And it's going to go through the source for all three of the Yaharik Val Yavars. How we know that Avodah Zarah, Gilui Raya, Shfichas Damim are each Yaharik Val Yavar. And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is just going to tell two stories of different pregnant women who had cravings and who wanted to eat something in Yom Kippur. One of them it turned out really well for, the other one it didn't turn out so well for. So let's pick up the Mishnah now on Pei Beis Amud Aleph at the top. Hatinokos ein ma'an loson b'Yom HaKippurim. We are not ma'ana children on Yom HaKippurim. We do not train them in Inoy. But a year or two beforehand, we are mechanich them so that they can get in the habit of doing mitzvahs. So first of all, right off the bat, ein ma'anino, so Rashi explains, that means ein chayav memno mehem esamacha, that we don't have to withhold food from young children, and the Beis Yosef's medayik in chayavim, we're not chayiv limno mehen machal. What if we want to? What if we want to teach our children at a young age how to fast on Yom HaKippurim, and we don't want to give them food to eat on Yom Kippur? So the Beis Yosef in Tafresh Tazayin is medayik from Rashi, that it sounds from Rashi that if you're interested in being mechanich your children before this man suggested by Chazal of when to be mechanich them, harashos biadam, you have every right to do so. However, the Ran is medayik the opposite from the Rambam. It's not even much of a diuk, it's pretty explicit in the Rambam. The Rambam, Shvis Zosar, Perek Beis, Halach Yiralf, writes that a katan that's under Ben Teisha, ain ma'anoso b'yom ha'kippurim k'dei shal yavu lidei sakana. You're not allowed to be ma'anahim on Yom Kippur, because that could be maybe lidei sakana, and we certainly don't want to put anybody in danger, certainly don't want to put any children in danger. So that's the raya. That the Ran has from the Rambam, that the Rambam disagrees with Rashi. So even though generally speaking, when it comes to chinuch, so there is an age of chinuch, but if you want to be mechanech your child earlier, you think your child is particularly capable of observing that mitzvah, there's nothing wrong with being mechanech earlier. Over here, the Rambam would say that there is something wrong with being mechanech earlier. However, the Maram Chabib suggests that Rashi and the Rambam are in fact not arguing at all. They both agree that if the child wants to eat, you're not allowed to be monea meichel from him. If he wants to eat, you have to give him what to eat. And when he wants to fast, you're allowed to let him fast. You don't have to force him to eat if he wants to fast. Again, assuming that it's not going to be an actual sakana. So and he proves this because if it was aser, then the Mishnah should have said instead of hatinokos ein manan osam, hatinokos machilim osam, should have said that we feed them. Ein manan osam is a softer lashon that implies that we would allow them to fast if they really wanted to fast. The Trumas Deshan quotes from Echad Me'agadolim that even though it's mutter for katanim to eat, but it's tov lihizayir. It's good to be careful to prepare food in advance so that they will feed themselves, so that gedolim won't have to touch the food in order to feed the katanim, because we're choshesh that maybe the gadol is going to come to eat while he's feeding the katan. So Trumas Deshan mentions that there were those who had such akpada that they would try their best not to actually have to feed the katan, because if you're dealing with food on Yom Kippur, there's a chance that you might come to eat the food. Very similar to touching chametz on Pesach, where we try to stay away from touching chametz on Pesach because of a chashash that a person might come to eat chametz. But the Trumas Deshan concludes, the minhag ha'pashut is not to be nisar b'zeh. The minhag ha'pashut is that we are not so careful about this, and if a child wants to eat, we feed them. We don't always necessarily prepare the food in advance. What about chametz b'Pesach, where we're concerned you're going to come to eat it? Says chametz b'Pesach is different. You're not fasting on Pesach. So when you deal with food, you're in the frame of mind that you might eat the food that you're dealing with. But on Yom Kippur, you're fasting, so when you're dealing with food, you already have your mind set that you're not going to eat anything. The Aruch HaShulchan, however, nevertheless writes that if children don't need you to feed them, so it's still better to let them eat on their own, and not because of the iser, not because we're choshish you're going to eat from it, but because of the tarech, because we try not to be matriach ourselves with extra work on Yom Kippur. So if you have something that's an easy lunch for the kid to prepare, let him have a yogurt or something that he could easily feed himself, so then it's better to do that when you have children who are of age to do that. So what was the first line of the Mishnah? That Tinokos ein ma'ana l'son b'yom ha-kippurim. We're not ma'ana Tinokos on Yom Kippur. What Masech are we learning? Yuma. Obviously we're talking about Yom HaKippurim. We have to say in every Mishnah, to say in every Mishnah by the Avodah, the Kohen Gadol, that on Yom HaKippurim he does this, and then Yom HaKippurim he does that. Yeah. Of course it's Yom HaKippurim. So Maram Chaviv raises this question also. Why does the Dafka mention Yom HaKippurim? So he says the Tana is being merames, that it's Dafka and Yom HaKippurim, that there's a din of being Mechanich Tinokos for fasting. Not by Tishbav, not by Shar Taniyos. That it's only Yom Kippur that we have such a din. He quotes from a Tshuvas Ramami Panu that we're mechanich tinokos l'sha'os for other tanios as well, but never l'hashlama. We're never mechanich for to be mashlam the tainis. The Marami Panu starts off by saying that to be mechanich briyim l'sha'os by other tanios is a minig yafeh, and at the end he says by other tzomos the tinokos should eat lechem u'mayim, meaning by other tzomos, even though they're going to eat and we're not going to be mechanich them to fast, but they should eat lechem u'mayim. They shouldn't be eating candies all day. So there is a source for that concept. You know, young children are often told when on fast days in camp and whatever that they shouldn't be eating candies all day. They should be eating the foods that they need to nourish themselves. But that's it. But this is a halacha also in Shulchan Aruch that we're not mechanich for other fast days. The minhag somehow has become, people have all sorts of different minhagim, 3 fasts before the bar mitzvah, or X number of fasts before. Really the halacha is, there are certain halachos, which we'll get into how we paskin, for Yom Kippur, how many Yom Kippurs before, but other fasts, there's no halacha at all about training children before their bar bas mitzvah. Okay, so let's see what the halachos actually are when it comes to training children before they become gedolim in terms of fasting. Oh, just another thing over here. It says al mechanchnos, and the Mishnah says we're mechanichos on lefnei shana. So Tos Shana raises the question over here. The Gemara says mechanchin the tinokos to do a mitzvah, and certainly we lechara we would be mafresh them from an iser. But in other places in Shas we say that a katan ochel nevelos in beis mitzvah nafresh. The Gemara in Yevamos, the katan ochel nevelos beis is not mitzvah. So Tosfos Masechta Shabbos Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph says that based on that Mitzvah LaFrisho, that's only when he's not Magia L'Chinuch. Once he's Magia L'Chinuch, then based on his Mitzvah LaFrisho. So that's the answer, that we're Mechanichim once he's Higia L'Chinuch. When he's not Magia L'Chinuch, you see him doing an Aveira, let him do an Aveira. Based on doesn't have to stop him from doing the Aveira. Rav Lazar Mimitz says that Chinuch is only Shaykh by Asiyas HaMitzvos, not by being Mafresh from an Isser. Very important sheet and Rishonim, that the whole mitzvah of chinuch is only for mitzvah saseh. There's no mitzvah of chinuch for a lo saseh. So what's the svara? Why would you say such a thing? So in the Ta'afos Re'im, on the Yireim, he explains that the whole idea of chinuch is to get him out of bad habits, so or to make sure that he'll be able to adjust to life as a Jewish adult. So chinuch is shaykh by mitzvah saseh, because if he's never in the habit of doing these mitzvahs are things that he wouldn't otherwise be doing if they weren't a mitzvah, so we need to train him to get in the habit of putting on tzitzis, of wearing tefillin, of doing things. Tefillin is a different story actually a little bit, because we have gufnaki concerns, but the basic concerns of doing mitzvahs, he could be in the habit. What about Isurim? So he says, how many Averis he can be doing already? You know what I'm saying? If he happens to do one, he's living in a from home, so he's not going to be doing so many Averis anyway. He's eating kosher food, he's not going to be Mechal Shabbos probably, so once in a while he doesn't have Averis, you don't have to worry that it's going to be habit forming. That's the way he understands the chiluk between Aseh and Los Aseh. That is not the way Rav Shachter used to explain it. Rav Shachter used to always explain that the difference between mitzvah say and mitzvah lo saseh is that the idea of being mechanech katan, according to this shita in Rishonim, is that the mitzvah of chinuch is that he's an enu mitzvah v'yoseh. That the mitzvah, the way the Rabban formulated the mitzvah of chinuch is that they made him volunteer mitzvos as an enu mitzvah v'yose. It only makes sense to volunteer mitzvos asay. If you're volunteering to do a mitzvos asay, it doesn't make. If I were to volunteer, I'm not going to become tamei to a dead body anymore. I'm not a kohen, but I decide I'm not going to become tamei to a dead body anymore because I want to volunteer a mitzvos los asay. Well, that's ridiculous. The los asay doesn't apply to me. It doesn't make any sense to volunteer a mitzvos los asay. But a mitzvos asay, it makes sense to volunteer. Women volunteer mitzvos asay shazman grama. Women want to volunteer lulav or sukkah nowadays. Tzitzis and tefillin. Women want to volunteer mitzvah shazman grama, so they volunteer mitzvah shazman grama. That makes it gives context to be to volunteer. I was joking about the tzitzis and tefillin part. No, sure. Okay, they want to volunteer mitzvah shazman grama. So wonderful, let them volunteer mitzvah shazman grama. And there's meaning to that. But to volunteer a los asay doesn't make any sense. That chiluk between an asay and a los asay we also find in Rishonim about harama. That Tosos points out that the Gemara says in Bechoros that they were not allowed to do a harama to get out of the kedushas bechor, to get an animal out of kedushas bechor. But Tosos says, what do you mean? We do it all the time. We always sell an animal before it gives birth to its bechor in order to get out. So he says because nowadays the whole thing is just to get out of the isurim of bechor. There's no Beis Hamikdash, so all we have about bechor is the isurim. A harama to get out of a los asay is fine because at the end of the day he didn't do a los asay, so good, he didn't do the los asay, he didn't violate the los asay. But a harama to get out of a mitzvah asay is not fine because again the nature of a mitzvah asay is that there's something positive to it. We don't want to try to avoid doing positive behaviors. Positive behaviors, even on an enemus of viyosa, makes sense as something that a person would volunteer. Okay, so let's see the Gemara now. Hashta b'fnei shtayim mechanchim luhu b'fnei shana mibayi. The lashon of the Mishnah is difficult to understand. It says mechanchim l'fnei shana u'l'fnei shnatayim. 1 year before or 2 years before? Well, if we're mechanchim 2 years before, obviously we're mechanchim 1 year before also. If a child is going to fast when he's, let's say, 11 years old, but he's not going to fast when he's 12 years old, before his bar mitzvah, obviously he would if you already have him started the year before. So I'm Rav Chista lo kasha. Habechola, habibari. It depends on the child. If the child is a chola, then we get him fasting a little bit later. If he's a bari, we get him fasting a little bit earlier. How do you determine if your child is a chola or a bari? How ill does he have to be for the child to be a chola? So Rashi says, Kachush v'tashush kalach means that he's weak. That he's a chala doesn't necessarily mean that he has some sort of diagnosed illness. That he doesn't seem like the strongest of children. Some children are stronger than others. So yeah, make a judgment based on his general demeanor and his general energy level. The Meiri writes that it doesn't mean a chala mamish. It means also that tivav chalushim, he doesn't have kalach to be sovel inoy. You don't think he's going to be able to handle inoy at a young age. The Bach writes, however, that any tinok that's a lomei Torah, even if he's a bari, he has a dino kechola. His din is like he's treated ki'ilu is a chola. And he says that's why our minig is that we're not misane a tinok, even a bari, in his 12th year when he's 11 years old. That's not like Rashi, not like the Rif, meaning there are different shitos in how to understand the Gemara that we're about to see. We're probably not going to get into it, but it must be that because we treat all of our children like cholim because they learn Torah. The Bach says that matzah kasuv that bizman hazeh mistama everyone's like cholim and we're not sure exactly when it's at a level of sakana. So safik nefashos lahakel, better to always assume that the child is a chole. Okay, so says the Gemara, Hashta b'fnei shtayim mechanchim lehu, so b'fnei shanim b'ayi, so again we said, Habachala b'bari. Amar Rav Huna, Ben Ches u Ben Tes, mechanchim osel l'shalos. Now it's a little misleading. You read the beginning of Rav Huna's sentence, he talks about a Ben Ches, Ben Tes. He's talking about a girl over here. He's going to say it explicitly in the end of the line, but let's gear ourselves to understand what he's talking about when we read it the first time. Ben Ches Ben Tes, when a girl is 8 or 9, mechanchim osel l'shalos. We already start having her fast part of the day. Not the whole day, but l'shalos, part of the day. Ben Yud to Ben Yud Aleph, Mashlimin Midrabanan. When the girl is 10 or and 11, so then she already finishes the fast, but only Midrabanan. On the Darais level, she doesn't have to complete the fast. On a Drabanan level, she completes the fast. Ben Yud Beis Mashlimin Midar Raisa. Once she's 12, then on a Dar Raisa level, she has to fast Bitinokes, assuming that it's a girl. I'm not sure why it's Ben, and then we say Bitinokes. Some of the Achronim asked that question. I'm not sure what the answer is. But okay. Rav Nachman Amar. Now, Rav Nachman is not disagreeing with Rav Chista. Rav Nachman is just going to give us the parallel by a boy. What's the status of a boy? At what age does a boy fast? So Rav Nachman Amar, Ben Tes Ben Yud, Mechanchon Asa L'Shos. When he's a Ben Tes Ben Yud, so we train him to fast L'Shos. Ben Yud Aleph, Ben Yud Beis, Mashlim in Midrabanan. When he's 11 and 12, so he finishes the fast, he's Mashlim the fast, but only on a Drabanan level. Ben Yud Gimel, Mashlim in Midar Raisa Betinok. And when he's 13, so we're Mashlim Midar Raisa for a boy. So Rav Nachman and Rav Chista say the same thing. They both hold that for 2 years prior to the bar or bas mitzvah, the child is fasting the full fast on a drabana level, and the 2 years prior to that, the child is fasting the child is fasting l'shaos. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Hashlama drabanan leka. Rabbi Yochanan says no, there's never a din of being mashlim midrabanan. Ben yud aleph mechanchon asa l'shaos. 10 or 11 were mechanic for Sha'os, were mechanic for part of the day. Ben Yud Bey is Mashlim and Midar Raisa. So good. So now let's try to prove who's correct and who's incorrect over here. Tanan. It said in our Mishnah, Tinoko sein man lasob yom kippurim, av mechanech lasal lefnei shana, v'lefnei shtayim. The Tinokos, we don't train them to fast in Yom Kippur, but we are mechanech them be lefnei shana and lefnei shtayim. So Bishlam el Rav Huna v'Rav Nachman, according to Rav Huna, Rav Nachman works out well, lefnei shana v'lefnei shtayim, lefnei shana l'divrayhem, lefnei shtayim what's the gears over here? Lefnei shana l'divrayim, lefnei shtayim l'divray Torah. That lefnei shana is on a drabbanan level, lefnei shtayim is midah raisa. As if you look at Rashi, Tanan, if you look at Rashi Tanan, mechanchlos v'lashos, lefnei shana, tahaynu shtei shanim. Lefnei shana means 2 years. It means the year before the year before. V'lefnei shtayim, tahaynu shalosh. Lefnei shtayim, we're understanding to mean 3 years earlier. So Bishlam l'Rav Nachman l'Rav Huna damri ika hashlama midrabanan. If you hold that there's such a concept of hashlama midrabanan, kidaka amar, afal gavdil didhu habechinuch habari arba shanim, even though according to him the chinuch of a bari is already 4 years, mati l'trutz l'masnisan kula b'chola. You could still understand our Mishnah, that our Mishnah is talking about not a bari, our Mishnah is talking about a chola. V'achi kamar, mechanchon osa l'sha'os shtei shanim l'fnei hashlamas divrayem, Shem Shalosh Lufnei Hashlamas to Divrei Torah. That were Mechanechim L'Sha'os 2 years before he has to be Mashlim Midrabanan, which is 3 years before he has to be Mashlim Midaraisa. K'dekam Ravuna D'Shana Asiris Mechanechon Esetinokas Hacholo L'Sha'os She Lufnei Shana Smucha L'Perek Hashlamas Divrayim She B'Shnas Yud Beis L'Chola. The year before, we're already Mechanechim for the Rabbanon to fast the whole fast from Mechanechim L'Sha'os. Da'ainu Lufnei Shnaim Asmuchlim Leperek Dar Raisa. So that makes sense according to the first sheet, according to Rav Chista and Rav Nachman. I'm sorry, according to Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. So, but says the Gemara, it should be Rav Chista. Oh no, it was Rav Huna. Right, Rav Huna was the So that makes sense according to Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. Rav Chista was just the one that was mechalik between Chol and Bari. Everyone holds of that chiluk. So that makes sense according to Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. So El Rabbi Yochanan Kasha. According to Rabbi Yochanan, how are we going to understand our Mishnah? So Amar Lecha Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan would say, "My Shana Ushtayim Samach Lepirkan." Shana Ushtayim means the Shana Ushtayim close to the to when they become Bar Bas Mitzvah. Don't say Lefnei Shana. Meaning that means 2 years, and lefnei shtayim means 3 years. No, lefnei shana means 1 year. Lefnei shtayim means 2 years. So tashma tani rabbi bar shmuel tinokos. Meaning, so there's no extra year that you need to fill in, and that works well because Rabbi Yochanan holds that there is no hashlama drabanan year. There is no year that we're filling in where we're mashlim the fast on the drabanan level. So tashma another raya. The tani rabbi bar shmuel tinokos ein manos on biyom kippurim aval mechanchnos on shana ushtayim samuch lepirkan. So it says explicitly, we're not ma'ana tinoks in Yom Kippur, but we are mechanich them 1 or 2 years samuch lepirkan. So bishlam l'Rabbi Yochanan nicha. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's great because Rabbi Yochanan holds samuch lepirkan. There is no other year where you're mashlim midrabanan. Just right up until the bar mitzvah is where we have the chinuch. So that makes sense according to Rabbi Yochanan. El Rav Huna, Rav Nachman, Kasha. But according to Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, so what's the Samach Lepirkan? Sa'armi l'cha Rabbanan, my chinuch nami dekatani hashlama. Who says chinuch means that he's only fasting for a couple of hours? Maybe when it says chinuch, it means that he's mashlim the fast. That midi Rabbanan, midine chinuch, we're mashlim the fast. So says Marami Kari l'chinuch hashlama. Would we refer to chinuch as hashlama? Would we use such an expression of hashlama describing chinuch? Vatanya eza with such an expression of chinuch describing hashlama, fasting all day long. Vatanya, we have a brayse that says not that way. Eza chinuch. What's chinuch? Chinuch means the following: Hayiragi lechel b'shtei shalos, machilin osa l'shalosh. If he normally eats breakfast at 7 o'clock in the morning, give him breakfast at 8 o'clock in the morning. B'shalosh machilin osa ba'arba. Normally eats at 8 o'clock in the morning, give him breakfast at 9 o'clock in the morning. That's chinuch. Chinuch means l'shalos. It doesn't mean ashlama. So Amar Rav Barula trei chinuch avim. That's chinuch, and it's also chinuch when he's ready to fast all day. That's also chinuch. There are two different types of chinuch. The Rambam writes in the Perashah Mishnayos that we're not machil achi yitzarim harav, that when it says if he normally eats at 8 o'clock in the morning, you feed him at 9 o'clock in the morning, that means that you let the kid get hungry. Sometimes kids, the way we normally operate with our children, is they're on a schedule. So whether they're hungry or not, dinner time is dinner time, lunch time is lunch. So they eat when it's time to eat. But the Rambam says that the idea over here is that you wait till they get hungry before you eat them. Before you feed them. The Rambam in Shvisa Sasar just adds that it's l'fi koach haben, mosif l'nan osa b'shalos. It doesn't have to be dafka 1 hour later. That it's dafka 1 hour past, you sit there with the clock 1 hour past breakfast time. You make a judgment call based on the koach haben. Or chashulchan and tafresh tazayin explains that there's no shash for the health of a child if he has mealtime a little later. Because sometimes we do have that when we're busy, when there's something going on, when we're on a trip or something. So sometimes they will get out of their normal routine, and that's not considered a cheshash of sakana. Okay, halacha l'maisa, bottom line, at what age should a child fast? Before Yom HaKippurim, a lot of people are unaware that this is dealt with in Shulchan Aruch. Everyone assumes they have different minhagim that they hear about, but this is dealt with explicitly in Shulchan Aruch. It's in Tafresh Tes Zayin, Siv Beis. So the Gabi Chinuch Sha'os, both by a boy and by a girl who are healthy, we begin Bishana Asiris, and by a Chola Bishana Ha'achasasrei. So either in the 10th year or in the 11th year of life, which would mean when they were 9 years old or 10 years old, we already start by saying have breakfast a little later. So that when it comes to Hashlama Midrabanan, so both a Tinok and a Tinokas, whether they are healthy or Chola, we begin Bishnas Yud Beis, when they are 11 years old. So if a girl, it would be 1 year before her Bas Mitzvah, the one Yom Kippur before Bas Mitzvah, and for a boy it would be the two Yom Kippurs before his Bar Mitzvah he should fast. What about the other fasts? Not at all. There's no let him out of candy the other fast, but the two Yom Kippurs before the Bar Mitzvah, that's what the Shulchan Aruch Paskins is the best way to go about doing this. How he gets there, how he arrives at that conclusion without being mechalik between the Bari and the Chola exactly the way the Gemara is, he is mechalik a little bit without being, you know, in the Tinok and the Tinokas, exactly the way the Gemara does, is a complicated discussion. You really need to learn through the Rishonim over here, and there are different approaches to the Gemara to see how he actually arrives at that conclusion. But halacha lemaisa, that is the conclusion of the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, so the Mishnah now goes on to the topic of someone who is ill and needs to eat on Yom Kippur. How do we go about handling those situations? Ubra she'iricha, if you have a pregnant woman that smells something, and therefore she develops a craving for a certain type of food, machlinosa at shetashiv nafsha. So we give her what to eat at shetashiv nafsha until she's able to calm down, until she's comfortable. Chola machlinosa al pibikin. If someone is sick, so we need experts, we need a doctor to tell us whether the chola needs to eat or not, whether it's actually a sakana. Ve'main sham bikin machlinosa al pi atzmo at shiomer dai. What if there are no doctors available, but the chola says, I really feel like I need to eat, so then that's enough. We're allowed to feed him, even though it's only based on his own word, ad shiomer dai, until until he says that he no longer needs to eat. Several Rishonim, the Rush over here, the Ran, the Ramban in Torah Sa'adam, say that when the Mishnah says Ubra Shehiricha, it's Lav Dafka Mu'beres. It doesn't necessarily mean that the woman, it has to be a pregnant woman. It means anybody who smells food and has a craving for the food, Upanav Mishtanim, and their face changes. You could tell that they're turning colors. So they're considered Cholim Sukan, and you're allowed to be Machal them Al Piatzmo or Al Pibaki. The Ran says, so why does the Tana Dafka say mu'uberes? Because that's where it's most common. Mu'uberes is most common to develop cravings, but really it could be anybody. However, Rabbeinu Menoch quotes the Yesh Omrim that it's Dafka mu'uberes that we feed because she's more likely to actually be in sakana because of something that she smells and doesn't eat, of an unfulfilled craving. But other people who smell something in Yom Kippur, we tell them to deal with it, calm themselves down, and refocus so that they won't need to eat at all. The Ramban also writes that even if there's no chashash on the Mu'uberes herself, the Ramban writes in Taras Adam, even if there's no chashash in her own, on her own life, it's just a chashash, it's a chashash on the Vlad, it's a chashash that she might lose the Vlad, that also we're Mechal Yom Kippur for, and we would let her eat on Yom Kippur. He quotes Yesh HaSovrim, he quotes, there are those that hold that we're not Mechal unless it's a chashash on her own life, but he personally disagrees. He thinks we're Mechal even when it's a chashash on the Vlad. The Rush doesn't even understand what the Yesh HaSovrim are talking about. He says, there's such a Metzias where it's going to be a chashash on the Vlad and not a chashash on the mother. He says, we assume that a Mapelis is Becheska Sakana. We assume that a woman who miscarries is Becheska Sakana. So Mela, if it's a chashash on the life of the Vlad, it's Mela chashash on the life of the mother. So he doesn't understand what the Metzias is. The Rush says, Karbon Asanel says that he doesn't understand what the Kasha of the Rush is. What do you mean? If a woman, let's say, has a history of miscarriages and she deals with different women require more recuperation than others from miscarriages, and you have a woman who recuperates very quickly and has constantly had miscarriages and has always been fine, so maybe she's not b'shasa sakana, maybe that wouldn't be, but yeah, b'cheska sakana on a typical miscarriage. But if you know that this woman has a history, says the Karbon Asanel, maybe she wouldn't be b'cheska sakana. So maybe that's the machlokas between the Ramban and the Yesh Sovrim that he quotes. So whatever the machlokas is, but we paskin that if there's any sakana to the Vlad, that a woman would eat on Yom Kippur in order to save sakana to the Vlad, even if it were not a sakana to the mother. It's also interesting that we're going to have a brisa in the Gemara right at the beginning. The Gemara is going to tell us how the order of being machil hakala kal tchila. You don't right away just give him a 4-course meal. You start with giving small bits and seeing what you can get away with before feeding too much. The Mishnah doesn't really give any indication that we do that. The Mishnah just says machilin osat shatashav nafsha. Just keep going, not shatashav nafsha. So some of the Rishonim say, or Achronim say, no, that's what it means, Achatoshav Nafsha. Achatoshav Nafsha means till she's okay, till she's not going to be b'sakana. The Rambam, however, in the Halachas of Yom HaKippurim, never quotes this idea of a pregnant woman being given Hakala Kal Tchila. He quotes by Machol Sasuros when you have a person who's b'sakana, but he never talks about a pregnant woman giving Hakala Kal Tchila. And the Beis Yosef explains that the Rambam holds that we were not machmir to give hakala kal tchila unless you're dealing with macholas asurus. We only do that when we're dealing with food that itself is asur, where the cheftza of the food is asur. But when you're dealing with food that's 100% kosher, food that's 100% mutter, it just happens to be Yom Kippur, which is a day that you're not allowed to eat food, the Rambam would hold that there is no din of hakala kal tchila. That's how the Beis Yosef is medayik from the Rambam. The Rav Moshe just writes in the Tshuva in Archaim Chelek Gimel Sadi Aleph that even a Cholosh Eimbo Sakana, where you have a chashash that him not eating would get him into a position of Cholosh Eimbo Sakana, you would give also. I mean, if a doctor says right now not dangerously ill yet, you wouldn't need to bring him to the emergency room yet. But if he fasts another hour or two, well, then it's going to be maybe lidei sakana. Rav Moshe, you don't wait till he gets to the point of cholosh yesh basakana and then feed him. You feed him if you know that continuing to fast is going to be maybe lidei cholosh yesh basakana. It's just important to note that Bir Halacha writes in Siman Tafresh Yud Ches that we do rely on bekiyim, we rely on doctors, but you also need to know which doctor you're talking to. You need to know if the doctor has any sort of appreciation for what it means to fast on Yom Kippur. A lot of times I've had the this experience with OBGYN, that if you deal with someone who's from, they have an understanding a little bit of what it means to fast Yom Kippur. The ones that aren't from, it depends. Some of the ones that aren't from, you know, are extra machmir, some are extra mekel. You know, they each have, you know, but yeah, a lot of times, why would you fast? Of course you should eat. You know, any doctor in the right mind would tell you, if you eat, you can have more energy. It's pashut when you eat, you can have more energy. But if they don't understand what it means to fast the Yom Kippur, and that we're actually looking for whether it's actual sakana, so you need to know that you need to know which doctors you're talking to make sure that your expert advice is an expert who's actually taking everything into account. Okay, says the Victor Rosenberg gets all upset about this, that doctors are way too makel on Yom Kippur. He thinks that everyone should fast. Okay, so says the Gemara now. Tanu Rabbanan, Uvrashi richa basar kodesh or basar chazir. If a pregnant woman smells basar kodesh or basar chazir, so she says, I gotta have the chazir. So tochlo kush berotav umanich l'alpia. First we take a little pole and we stick it in the, we take a spoon and we stick it in the sauce, and we put the sauce on her mouth a little bit. Im nisyash v'dayta mutav. If that calms her down, great. Vim lav, if that doesn't work, then we actually start feeding her the sauce. Vim nisyash v'dayta muta, that calms her down, fantastic. Vim lav, if it doesn't, then we start feeding her the fat of the dish itself. Because there are only three things that get in the way of pikuach nefesh. Avodzorah, gilurai, shvichus damim are the only things that one has to give up their lives in order not to violate. There is a machlokas rishonim. If there are other averos, if a person wants to be moser nefesh for other averos, will certainly befarhesia. The Gemara Sanhedrin says befarhesia. Everything becomes Yaharik Valyavar. But even Betzina, is one allowed to volunteer to give up their life? So the Ramban says, if one volunteers to give up their life for shatness or for any other, for any of the other mitzvahs in the Torah, so I raise a mischayiv benafsho. The Rosh assumes that you are allowed to be Moser Nefesh. The Rambam says that, generally speaking, the Ramban is correct. You're not allowed to give up your life for something else. But if someone is a chassid and he's a gadol, so then they're allowed to make an extra Kiddush Hashem by giving up their life. But that's not for everybody. It's a fascinating question in the Mariel Disk and the Makrei Kodesh Yom Noraim, quotes from the Maril Diskin, who asks that why don't we say that Shabbos is also Yaharik Valyavar? Because after all, Shabbos is Shkula Kavodazara. The Gemara equates Shabbos in Masech Sanhedrin and Gilman Beis. We equate Shabbos with Avodazara. So if Avodazara is Yaharik Valyavar, shouldn't Shabbos also be Yaharik Valyavar? So says Maril Diskin, yeah, it definitely should be Yaharik Valyavar. But if you're only doing the Avera of Shabbos, the Chil Shabbos, because you're trying to save your life, so then it becomes a Melach Shein Shrich Lagufa. And Mela, it's not a violation Midarais of Shabbos. So it's never going to practically be Yaharik Valyavar, because you have that additional concept of Melach Smach Shabbos, which will always save you from actually doing a real Melacha on Shabbos. It's not called a real Melacha if your purpose of your Melacha is different. It's like the story Rav Zilberstein tells of the fellow who wanted to drive around, the Chiloni Jew, who was all upset at the datim in this community, so he wanted to get them upset. So he dafka drove around this car and around the entire neighborhood on Shabbos. So he says, Taka probably only nisid rabbanon, melach shein sricha legufa. He doesn't really need to get anywhere. He's just driving around to upset anybody. So he's probably not actually violating the nisid raisa. Okay, so avodazara minalan. How do I know that avodazara is yaharik valyavar? Detayin Rav Lazar Omer, im nomer b'chol nafshecha, if the Torah would have just said b'chol nafshecha, we have to serve Hashem with all your life. Why does it say b'chol modecha with all your money? If it says with all your money, why does it have to say b'chol nafshecha? I get it. You have to serve Hashem with all you've got. Why does it have to say both of these phrases? If you have a person who values his life more than he values his money, that's what we say. Even what you value most, even your life, which you value more than your money, still you have to serve Hashem with that. You have to be willing to give up your life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'im yeshcha adam shemanu chavalav migufo, and if you have a person who values his money more than he values his life, so the kach nemar b'chol modecha, that's why it says b'chol modecha. So that's where we learn that Avodah Zarah is more chamor than Avodah Zarah rather is Yaharik Valyavar. It is a little bit odd that there is such a concept of a person who values his money more than he values his life. This is a discussion this is a discussion that the Achronim have. Would you really have such a person? The Gra raises the question, Yeshcha Adam Ba'olam, is there really a person in Shnos Aliyah Brachos in Parak Tes? Is there really such a person that for his money is going to be willing to give his life up? And then what value will his money have to him? He's not going to be able to do anything with the money anyway once he's dead. So the Gra says, no, Behechrech, you have to say that Manuchav Migufo means that he's willing to be Mekabel Yisurim to save his money. But Gufachav Mimono means that he's willing to give up all of his money not to be Mekabel Yisurim. But he says the truth is it doesn't really fit into our Gemara, because our Gemara uses this as the source that you have to give up your life. If it's all about Yisurim, if Bechol Nafshecha doesn't mean life, it means Yisurim, so then it wouldn't be a good source that you have to give up your life for in order to avoid violating Avodah Zarah. So the Chidush HaRim says that what the Gemara means, we're talking about a person who lends money berivis, that he always wants another day to pass by, so that in each day the money that he's owed is going to become greater and greater. So since he's mekabel money based on how many days the debt has been outstanding, so he's hoping that another day of his life will pass by in order to make a little bit of money. Meaning, most people don't want life to pass them by. We want to be able to experience each moment of life. We're not eager to. Oh, when am I already going to be holding by dying? When am I already going to be, at the end of my life? Most people want life to last as long as possible, and they want each day to last as long as possible. But the guy who's Malva Baribis, when's it going to be tomorrow already? I'll be owed more money. When's that loan going to come due? Wednesday. He's always looking forward to when the next day is going to come. So that's how he understands that Mamonu Chavalav Migufo. He doesn't realize that that's what he's doing, but that's what it really is, that Mamonu Chavalav Migufo. Okay, so that's how we know when it comes to Avodah Zarah. The Ran writes, by the way, that it's not only Avodah Zarah Gilurei Shvichus Damim, it's all Ab Yisrael, based on the Sugya and Sanhedrin. Any Ab Yisrael of Avodah Zarah Gilurei Shvichus Damim, even if you have a simple losa say that somehow relates to these Averos of Avodah Zarah Gilurei Shvichus Damim, that also becomes Yarek Val Yavar. The Gemara in Sanhedrin gives the example in Ayin Dalet about a person who needs to the doctors say that in order to save his life, he doesn't need to actually sleep with the woman, he just needs to speak to her in an inappropriate way, or he needs to see her undressed or something like that, where it's abizrayu, it's not the actual act itself, but even that becomes yaharik valyavar. There's also discussion about committing suicide in order to avoid the situation entirely. The Gemara Maseches Gittin in the Churban Agadat Hazan in Zayin Beis talks about a story of 400 Yeladim V'Yelados that jumped into the ocean in order to avoid being captured and being made to do indecent things. So Tos says, Dafka, because they were afraid that they would be Miyasa them be Yisurim, that they wouldn't be able to stand up to those Yisurim and that they were going to do the Averos. So they thought that later on they wouldn't be able to give their lives, it would be easier for them now. So Tos says, in that situation, they were allowed to commit suicide in order to avoid the problem entirely. Okay, it's a more complicated discussion, obviously. Gilui Raisu Shvichus Dam Minalan. How do I know that Gilui Raisu and Shvichus Dam are also Yaharik Val Yavar? Titania, Rabbi Omer, Ki Kasher Yakum Ishal Re'er Utsacho Nefesh, Kena Davrazeh. Pasuk, when it describes Naru Murasa, says that you don't do anything to the Nebuch, the poor girl that was raped, because she didn't do anything wrong, because it's like someone murdered somebody else. That's what it's like. Meaning we should treat a rape victim like a murder victim. She is a victim. This was a chiddush that the Torah introduced to the world, that we don't blame the girl, that she's a victim of a crime, like a murder victim is a victim of a crime. But still, for the Torah to use another halacha to compare it to explicitly is unusual, and it's trying to tell me something, obviously. What halacha by rotzeach are we trying to apply to Nara Marasa? Ela reza balalamid v'nim salamad. It's actually a halacha about Nara Marasa that we're applying to rotzeach. Man Nara Marasa nitin latzila b'nafsho, af rotzeach nitin latzila b'nafsho. Just like a Nara Marasa, if you see a man chasing a girl to rape her, you're allowed to kill that man to save him from doing that avera, or save the girl from being the victim by killing that man, so too by a rotzeach. If you see Reuven going to kill Shimon, you can kill Reuven. Ma rotzeach yaharik val yavar, af Nara Marasa yaharik val yavar. And then we go in the opposite direction as well, that if rotzicha is yaharik val yavar, so Nara Marasa is also yaharik val yavar. Val Yavar. We learn out that they're both Yaharig Val Yavar. Rashi points out, but she is not Mitzuva to be Mosu Nafsha, because she could be just be Karka Olam. Like we learned from Esther, that Esther was Karka Olam, so she could just take a passive role in the Bia. So if a woman is given a choice of being killed or violating Gilei Arayos, she can violate Gilei Arayos in a passive form. That's why it's Yahareg and not Tehareg. So that's what Rashi points out over here. V'rotzeach gufei min alan. How do I know by Rotzeach itself that it's Yaharig Val Yavar? Where do we ever see that Rotzeach is Yaharig Val Yavar? So it says Gemara Svarahi. It's a simple Svara. Da'uda asa l'kamei. What is it, Rabba? Yeah, that someone came in front of Rabba. Amarli mari d'rai katle l'panya v'ilo katul l'vach. He said the government officials in charge of my village that I live in told me that I better kill so-and-so, and if I don't kill that guy, he's going to kill me. So what should I do? I'm stuck. Amalei nekatlech velo tiktol. He says, better that you get killed, let him kill you, rather than you kill somebody else. Why? What's the svara? My chazis de dama didach sumaktvei, dilma dama de hugavar sumaktvei. Who told you that your blood is any redder? Maybe that guy's blood is redder. Meaning we don't make cheshbonos in Jewish law by how old is he? How accomplished is he? What does he have to offer to society? We don't make those cheshbonos. There are two lives, my chazis. We don't know the value of one life over the other life, and therefore we have to be passive, and if being passive means getting oneself killed, then that's what we do. The Rambam writes in Yisodei HaTorah, the Rambam talks about the Goyim tell a group of people, Tnu lanu echad mehem v'nargu, give over one person so that we can kill him, otherwise we're going to kill all of you. So then it becomes a little more tricky, because now it's not just Mechaz Damid Dachsim Lutzvei, he's going to die anyway, we're all going to die anyway if we don't give over this person, so can we give him over? So he says, Kulchem Yehargu Kulam Val Yimshulam Nefesh Achas Miyisrael. Everyone should get killed and don't give him a single Nefesh Miyisrael. That's the Rambam in Yisrael Torah Perakei Halacha Hei, and that's how the Rambam Paskins in Shulchan Aruch, unless they choose who the guy is. They say, give us Ploni. And Yesh Omrim, even when they say, give us Ploni, it's only if he's actually Chayv Misa Kesheva Ben Bichri. It's only if he's someone who there's a reason that they want him. There's a reason that he's the one that deserves that's costing everybody else, because then he has the din of a rodev. But otherwise, we can't actively engage in killing. That we have to be passive. So Ramach says, well, wait a second. The whole svara of the Gemara is that maybe my chazad damin dachsam uktvei. Who knows who's better? Who knows whose life is more valuable? But if everyone's going to be killed, what happened to that svara? Meaning, now we know if it's one life, if it's just that guy versus that guy and the rest of us getting killed. Isn't it obvious that it's better to have just that guy get killed than have that guy plus everybody else get killed? So the Kesef Mishnah mitarets that the svar is not the real reason for this halacha. The svar is not the real reason that murder is Yaharig Val Yavar. They had a mesorah that Shvichas Dam is Yaharig Val Yavar, that it's such an iser to cost the life that it's Yaharig Val Yavar. But they give a svara to it where it's shaykh. But be'emes, even when the svar is not shaykh, we would still say Yaharig Val Yavar. That's how the Kesef Mishnah says. The Lecha Mishnah suggests a little differently. Lecha Mishnah says, no, the case where they tell a group of people, give us one or we're going to kill all of you, must be a case where there must be some other way out, where there might be a chance that you might all still escape. So since there's some other way out, so the easy way out is just give over this guy, and then you'll all be free, and then you won't have to cheshbon whether your lives are at risk or not. But to the suffix sakana to everybody else is worth not giving over that one life. The Ran disagrees with the Ran. He says, no, give him over. We'll save everybody. Give over that one guy. You have to save everybody else's life. Okay, so that's the machlokas rishonim in that case. Says the Gemara now two stories of pregnant women who felt a craving to eat on Yom Kippur. Hahi ubra da urcha asal kamei de rebi amrlu zilu l'chushla d'yom de kippurihu. There was a pregnant woman smelled some food, and they came to Rebbe to ask Shaila, what should we do? So Rebbe said, tell her that it's a whisper in her ear that it's Yom Kippur, see if that calms her down a little bit, and maybe that she she'll have the koach not to eat. So it worked. They whispered in her ear, and they told her it's Yom Kippur, and she got better. She was makabel, and she stopped her taiva. Kari alei b'tar matzrach b'betin yidaticha. So he said about him the pasuk. She said about this woman the pasuk that even when a fetus is in the mother's womb, it's already a tzaddik. That you can have a tzaddik inside the mother's womb is already doing the right thing, already doing mitzvahs. Nafik minar Rabbi Yochanan, and it turned out that baby became Rabbi Yochanan. Hahi ubra da'orcha. There's another story of a woman who smelled something. Also committed Rabbi Chanina. They went to Rabbi Chanina. Amar lahu l'chol shula. So he said again the same advice. Tell her it's Yom Kippur and maybe she'll calm down. So v'lo ilchisha. They tried it. It didn't work. She didn't feel any better. She still needed to eat. Kari alei zor rusha merechem. So he said the pasuk about him that a rasha is already a rasha merechem. That this child is not going to be satisfied with anything. He's already a rasha in the rechem. So nafik minei shaptai atzar piri. And terrible rasha came out from that story from this woman. It's interesting. The Gemara says elsewhere that the Yetzer Hara only enters a person when he leaves the mother. And over here you see that he already has the Yetzer Hara. Merechem. So you have to, the Achronim say that, yeah, maybe he has the Yetzer Hara b'me'ima already, but the Yetzer Hara only has shilton over him, only really controls him once he leaves Rechem Imo. Okay, we'll pick up at the two dots tomorrow.